Today I'm delighted to present as my guest, Brian Keith Allen, an old friend that I reconnected with on Facebook, and the miracles that Facebook has to offer us in the 21st century by allowing us to hook up with people we never thought we would ever meet or find or talk to again. Welcome to my show, Allen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Holt.
My man. Man, I tell you, brother, this has been really, really something. And the reconnect, you don't know how delighted I was to reconnect with you. We met way, way, way back in the early 2000s. Yes. You remember that? I was pastoring in Harlem, right across the street from Central Park. And I put an ad in Backstage newspaper calling for actors to come and do a performance, one of the plays that I wrote. And lo and behold, you were one of those who responded. Talk to me, Allen, man. That was way back in the day.
Yes. My first time being in New York and coming from Los Angeles as an actor, and then I thought I'd give New York a try. And I saw your ad, absolutely. And I responded, and I'm so happy that I did. And it was just a great experience and a wonderful time with others. And you're a delightful sum. You're just an inspiration to me. And for you to call me back and get in touch with me all these years that passed, thank God.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's really been a tremendous journey. Allen is, for my audience, Allen is an actor. He is also a screenwriter. He's also a stuntman. And one of the things that I admire about him, and he's going to explain a little bit about that, is his venture into being a stuntman. Now, let's go back, Allen. You mentioned that you were born in Iowa. I don't even want to tell us a little bit about the area that you were born in, and give us a little bit background on the siblings in the household that you grew up in.
Well, you know, some people always ask, where are you from? And I would say, because I would know, and most people don't know the word, and I'm going to say it, and it's called Keokuk. And when I say that, people think that's another country. But that's one of the small little cities in Iowa,
okay,
off the Mississippi River. And that's where I was born with my other seven siblings.
Okay.
Four boys and four girls.
Wow. Wow. What was it like growing up as an Allen?
Well, you know, yeah, I was born there, and we left there when I was about 5.5 years old and moved north to Michigan City, Indiana. And that was the industrial time of a lot of factories where my father at that time was working. And so that's where I grew up, on Lake Michigan across from Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So what was it like growing up in that household, man? You know, a lot of times when we're growing up in a household, some people grow up in dysfunctional homes, and they look back over their lives and they can see and kind of define themselves based upon those fundamental foundational experiences. Tell us a little bit about.
Yeah, of course. I would say this, that I was fortunate, and I'm happy that I had parents that love each other. They, especially my mother, that loved her kids and put us in church as her brother. My uncle was the pastor, and their father, my grandfather, was a pastor, but I never met him. He died when I was like 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely inspired spiritually because my mother, you know, had us to grow up in the church, mm-hmm, and my uncle being the pastor. So that kind of gave me some groundwork of the spirituality of my life. Mm-hmm. And having said that I was seven, you know, siblings, and I was the third youngest. So my influences were my older brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And it's my oldest brother was a great athlete, so we definitely bond in that, and I became a great athlete as far as football, basketball, and baseball, and that kind of helped me to become a stuntman, because my goal was to be a professional athlete, and I went through some trials and tribulations and adversities growing up, as we all do, but mine's probably been a little more severe. And through those, it built my character.
You know what? In talking with you in our reunion just the other day, you had mentioned to me that you loved pain, and that was one of the reasons why you became a stuntman, right? You loved sports. You were daring. You were kind of fearless. And then you said you loved pain. Explain that to me, man. How did that come about?
Well, right when you just said pain, and you see what I did, I laughed.
Yeah.
and other people would cry. I remember when I was 10 years old, and we were playing, and my older brothers, and they had machines outside the factories. They didn't have them fenced in. So long story short, I had got my foot caught in the garbage compactor, and that's what it was. And the doctor told my parents that I would never run or walk the same.
Mm.
And it nearly cut my whole foot off, and I have the scar and the scar tissues to prove it today. But I became the most versatile athlete in the state of Indiana my senior year.
Mm.
I proved the doctors wrong.
Mm.
And I tell you, when I say I love pain, because I don't know, that's a weird saying, but it just, I don't know, my body's different.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't need to be able to. You don't need to. But you
well,
know
well,
you.
You know, when women have babies, they go through pain and then there's joy.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I do want to talk to you about your stuntman experiences, because I found that fascinating as well. I do know that you're a devout Christian, man. Every now and then I would see some of your postings on Facebook, and I always noticed that Bryant always had a mention of God in his postings. That always impressed me. No matter what you were doing in the secular world, meeting secular people, pursuing your acting careers, God was always number one in your life from
Absolutely.
Your postings. And that you said you found Christ when you were 20 years old?
Yeah, he wasn't always number one, but definitely he is number one for sure. Mm. And like I said, I went through a lot of trials and tribulations and adversities. And when I reached my age of 20, I was conflicted. And like most people are when we meet our maker. Mm. And I had some challenges. And the only way that I could get through them was going to take a miracle.
Mm.
And I was working in this factory, and this gentleman was always sharing the Bible every time I went there, and I always believed the Bible and believed in God, but I just didn't have that closeness, that intimate relationship, mm. and I wanted that.
Yes.
And he was telling me, this is the best insurance, and Jesus Christ is the best insurance that any person can have.
Mm.
So I wanted to... I wanted God to prove himself to me that he is God. Mm. So as the Bible says, you come nigh to God, he'll come nigh to you. And
yeah.
I wanted to come nigh to God. And I did when I was 20. And that was the best decision I ever made
Amen.
In my entire life.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And most of my friends back then, they didn't believe me because the way I was, and you know, it was a miracle.
I'm
that
afraid.
Was a miracle.
Amen.
And he proved himself to me for sure.
Amen. And I appreciate that, man, because too often we lose our way along the way. And even though there are times when people lose their way and never find their way back, but thank God you're sustained. You've been sustained.
Yes, because, Mr. Hope, you know, I didn't want to be the guy that said, I wish I could have and would should have. Yeah. I wanted to say at my young age of 20 is when I gave my life to God. I wanted to say I'm glad and happy that I did it then.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be sorry till today in my golden age.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm glad I did.
Amen. Praise God, man. Thank God. And I'm glad you did, too. I'm glad you did, too. Because we now meet again, connected through the blood of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Man. And that makes our friendship even more significant. Now, you lived in China, following your dreams. You lived in Harlem. You lived in France, Taiwan. But you started your journey specifically in L.A., Los Angeles, where you went to school. You studied at Cal State University. You got a B.A. in theater arts. Tell us a little bit about that, your Los Angeles connection and journey.
Yes. Well, I went to University of Kentucky on a football scholarship, and I had my first injury, and I had a red shirt my freshman year of a knee injury, and I had a knee operation. And then I decided to transfer to Cal State Fullerton. And there is when I met my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm. I didn't know I was going to go out there and meet him. I'm thinking I had other plans, but God has his plans.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful journey. Football I was gelling in my football, and I got drafted I signed as a free agent with the Los Angeles Rams.
Mm.
But I had a theater art major, and I graduated in that. And so you're talking about a thespian being a football player. So football was first, though, and I had another couple of more knee injuries. And I tell you, that was a route that I did not want to take.
Yeah.
You're talking about pain, and but I laughed my way through it. And,
yeah.
And got on stage, got in front of the camera, and started to gel into the entertainment industry. And started with the Miami Vice stunt show at Universal Studio for 5 years.
Mm.
And so that laid the groundwork of my stunts.
Okay, so you were doing stunts at Universal Studio in California.
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, how did you stumble into that? And what? Tell me a little bit about stunt area, being a stunt man. How did you find the opportunity and that door to open? Had you practiced stunts before?
Well, briefly, when I was a young kid, I was the Mikey type. And those who don't know about Mikey was a commercial. Cereal commercial, and the kids will say, I'm not going to try it. You try it. No, I'm not going to try it. Let's get Brian Allen. I would do it. And I was that type of guy, a type of kid that I would try anything, jump off of roofs, do wheelies on motorbikes, and jump the Grand Canyon if I had to. But that started my career. I started learning and hanging around with stunt guys, and I was a fast learner.
Mm.
So being physically and being athletic, henceforth being a stuntman, was ideal to me.
Wow.
So that I'm still doing that today, and I'm in my late 60s.
Okay. Okay. Now,
I tell you this, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. When I went to New York from L.A., and I started stunt doubling for Ice-T on Law & Order Special Victim Unit. It's the longest running episodic TV show in history.
Mm.
So I was happy and I would say humbly working with that particular production was great, and it was a fantastic opportunity.
What were some of the things that you did in terms of stunts for Ice-T or for others?
I specialized in high falls. Specialized in car driving, precision driving, explosions, knives, guns, weaponry, boats, jet skis, you name it. And I did not, there's one thing I didn't do, and I probably won't, is jump out of the airplane.
Okay.
But I probably would if I could get the opportunity.
Yeah. Now, in doing these stunts, you had to prepare. What kind of preparation did you go through in some of the scenes that you had to, play for the actor?
Well, in stunts, you always, number one, safety.
Safety.
Safety is, because we're human.
Yeah.
We hurt. We get cut. We bleed. We can die. And these are very dangerous. You'd never try them at home, but I did. But I wouldn't recommend you do it. But there are stunt coordinators that orchestrate and calculate our stunts. Whether it's high falls, you start low and work your way up. I was trained through different areas of stunts, and I did many stunt shows like the Batman stunt show, the King Solomon show in Holland and France. I went out to China and I did the Countdown stunt show, which is the biggest stunt show probably in the world that we did. And then I wrote a stunt show when I went back to China. Unfortunately, the outbreak, the pandemic had me to leave there. But stunts, it's definitely a gift and a skill that one, you have to have it.
Yeah.
You have to have the skills. Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to, put yourself in a very dire situation that you don't have to.
Yeah. Let me ask you, man, you have to have a sense of fearlessness, and I guess your adrenaline flows when you're doing some of this stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If it doesn't, and if you, like some person asked me, aren't you afraid to do the high falls, 60 feet? And I said, absolutely, I'm afraid. Because if I make a mistake, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Or I can really hurt myself.
Now, when you do the high falls, they have something down at the bottom of the fall?
Absolutely. You have to. There's either a fall pad, but anything probably over 35 feet, you probably want an airbag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just listening to some stuff on, the internet. You look at Tom Cruise, man. Tom Cruise seems to be a maniac. He doesn't want any stuntmen doing any of his stunts, man. He wants to do them all himself.
Yeah. I met him, worked with him in Night and Day, his movie with Viola Davis. And it was a hospital scene where, and we had a chance to talk a little bit, and we got to talk about football, and he loves football. So Tom is very talented, as we all know. He's a very talented guy, and he's very daring. Yeah, he likes to do his own stunts.
Yeah.
And he got, he paid for a couple of them.
Yeah. Now, you went out to China. Is that the first area you went following your dream?
China, let's see. The first time I left the country, that was in Taiwan.
Okay.
Which we did a Western stunt show.
Okay.
And
now, when you say stunt show, was that a part of a movie, or was it just a part, or was the whole thing stunts?
Yes, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, a stunt show, those who don't know a stunt show is a live stunt show.
Okay.
It's a seating in an arena where you may have 5,000 audience members, and it's a live a stunt show. It's a stage. My first one was the Miami Vice stunt show.
Okay.
Then I did the Batman stunt show, the King Solomon Mine stunt show. In San Francisco, I did it's a different version of a Batman. We had the Batmobile, but then in the Vallejo, California, we did the Batman's water thrill spectacular stunt show, which we had boats, jet skis, and the bat boat.
Mm.
So So these are live productions, and you would say like theater, but it is outdoor.
Okay.
Because of the explosions and the fire.
Wow, amazing, man. Amazing, amazing. Now, when you went to China, how was your experience in China? I know you mentioned briefly to me early on, living in a communist country, being from America. What was that like, man? Being a Christian, being an African American, living in a communist country for 8 years. What was that like?
Yes. Yeah, you know, a lot of people had asked me and said the same thing. Wow, you lived in a communist country. But you know, when I was living there, it never seemed to me that it was a communist country. Okay. They didn't bother me. The people are very nice, and I enjoyed the experience. The food was great. The culture was interesting. You're talking about one of the oldest cultures in the world, and they was very excited to meet you and want to learn English, and especially of what I was doing over there. They really looked up to me, and I had a chance to teach drama and teach English and teach PE there. So the kids are very disciplined and very warming to you and respectful.
Now, did you have any racism over there?
Did you
encounter that?
But I would think it's kind of an ignorant, if you will, type of racism. For an example, they were looking for a teacher that had the credentials to teach English, and I submitted my application, but they saw that my picture, they said, well, they wanted a Caucasian white teacher. And then I had asked them, well, I thought the credentials, you wanted those, but yeah, the schoolmaster wanted a white teacher. And I said, and I hung up disappointed, but then I thought about this. And then I called back and I said, what if you're half white?
Uh-huh.
So, because that goes in another part of my story. But so some people think that I'm, because I'm light-skinned black guy, that I'm like Puerto Rican or Cuban or Brazilian or Morocco or something like that. But for them to say that, I thought, just because the color of the skin, which we don't do that here in America, we can't do that.
Yeah.
But not now, these days. But,
yeah. We can't, but we find other ways, though. We may not be as blatantly blunt as that guy was, but we certainly find.
But yeah, thank God he doesn't care about the color of skin.
Praise God, man. Amen. If he did, we would be in bad shape, Doc, because I tell you, the way these people treat us sometimes, thank God that he is no respecter of persons, my friend. Praise
Amen.
The Lord, man.
Amen.
Yeah, Alan, you know, that's quite interesting, Doc. Some of your, you know, adventures, following your craft. I would assume that being in the performing arts in China from America gives you kind of that, you know, heads up in terms of people looking up to you.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. What were some of the highlights in China? Or let me even China or it highlights in your work in your life.
I mean, being a theater art major, being an actor, being a performer, being a stuntman, being a writer, being in the entertainment industry, it's just a joy and a thrill to me to see others' reaction and see others cry or laugh. It's a joy to me, and I never knew what I wanted to be after my sports. And so I had an acting class in Cal State Fullerton, and where I attend and graduated from, and I didn't know what to study. All I wanted to do was play football, basketball, baseball, but I had this teacher And I remember that he made me feel so comfortable. I was a shy person. Mm. Yeah, believe it or not.
Can't believe it, man.
Being shy. but I wanted to break that. And I knew that someday I was going to be interviewed. Hey, here we are, interviewed. Interviewed on television, you know, through my sports and this and that. And I didn't want to be stumbling and falling over my words. And I definitely didn't want to be shy enough where I remember in seventh grade where I would just not go up there to do my speech. Mm. So I wanted to get out of that. And I took a non-major theatrical acting class. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that I did, because that broke the barriers that I had up. And I can speak in front of thousands of people right now and wouldn't bother me one bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, man. That's fantastic. Yeah. Amen. Give me a couple of your most defining moments, where you had or an epiphany, you know, so we go through those things.
Tell you, I got help. I got flown to the trauma center in one of the stunt shows. It was the one in near San Francisco where it was simultaneously these ramps. We jump with the jet skis. Uh-huh. These are stand-up jet skis, and they're pretty fast. And I was professionally trained on them, but we didn't have helmets. We weren't wearing helmets at that time. And me and another gentleman, a stunt player of mine, and we simultaneously made the 6-foot ramp jumps, and I landed and I fell over and hit my head on his jet ski and was knocked out completely. And you got like 5,000 people watching. They're thinking, wow, what a stunt. Lord behold, thank God I was in shape, because I woke up coughing up water and I'm looking around like, where am I? Mm-hmm. Wow, what are all these people doing here? Oh, I'm in a show. Oh, I'm chasing Batman. And I kept going. I didn't realize I had a hole in my head.
Wow.
Until I got backstage and looked in the mirror, and there it was, a hole in my head. And I told the guys, you know, the PAs, you know, tell them that Brian's hurt. So they stopped the show, and long story short, they helicoptered me to the trauma center, and I was okay.
Yeah.
Did I laugh on that one? Probably later.
Yeah. Now, did you go back to the things after that?
Oh yeah, I went right back to it with a helmet on.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What's a couple of your most defining moments?
I tell you, working with some of the elite Hollywood actors, such as Will Smith, Al Pacino, Russell Crowe, Denzel Washington, these type of actors just thrilled me to be in their presence.
Yeah.
And to work with them and to see them work, wow.
Yeah.
It's just an inspirational moment in my life and now that I have written a script and I hope to get Denzel in it.
Yeah.
but we're going to pray about that. But this is my new passion, is writing.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy doing this.
Well, I tell you, Brian, man, I you know, you and I just met reconnected maybe a week ago. And in our reconnecting, you shared with me, I shared with you. And one of the outstanding points in the conversation that we had was this miraculous, fantastic, creative screenplay that you have just completed. I was blown away. You know, my son is into the movie making business and distribution and all of that, and I do plays myself. I write, I direct, I promote, and I know a good piece when I see one. And that particular screenplay you wrote was phenomenal. phenomenal. It takes so many different twists and turns, unexpected situations. I was blown away, man. I just think that it's a remarkable piece of work. And indeed, you have my prayers that God would open up a door for that movie to be shown.
Yes, I hope that we can get it on track and get it in development and all of you can see it.
Yeah. You know what? And you have, which you are not sharing, I guess, for personal reasons. You have an incredible story of your own. And if I'm not mistaken, portions of the movie you wrote reflects some of the experiences in your own personal life. Is that correct?
Well, actually, that's a whole new movie in itself.
Okay, so that's different.
Yeah, it's almost like a bio.
Okay.
Of my, based on the true events in my life.
Yeah. Well, one day, man, I hope that you'll feel free enough to share what you shared with me. About your venture, you know, for discovery and all of that personal discovery. It's just a tremendous story, man. And it's just been great. Man, tell me before we clock out, who were the three most pivotal people in your life?
Great question. I would say one would be my older brother, who influenced me with his athleticism, and why I became who I were as an athlete. And two would be my uncle, inspirational spiritually, to have God in my life. Mm. And that's connected with my mother, which is number three, my mom.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Man, is your mom still alive?
She's still with us. She's 88 years old, and she's still kicking it.
Okay. And your relationship with her is pretty good? Because I know that you had some issues. Yeah. Okay, great, man. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, listen, if you had it to do all over again, if you had life to do all over again, Alan, what would you do differently?
I would have God in my life earlier.
Okay.
I know 20 is young, but if I had him even earlier, only he would know what position I'd be in right now.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for the position I am in, though.
Yeah.
However.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great. What are you looking forward to for the balance of your life? I mean, you know,
a wife.
Okay, a wife. Oh my God. Now you shouldn't have a problem with that, man. You know, you've got a lot of you have a lot of possibilities out there. You have a lot of women out there that's looking.
But it's me. I'm the problem. I'm so picky.
Oh my God. Well, you know, you're too old to be too picky now, my brother. You know, you gotta release.
I realize that too. That's
you gotta release some of those standards, brother, and you know. Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's why I'm saying it. I know.
Yeah.
I know. But you know what? I've been praying, and I'm hoping that God will is working on someone as He's working on me to prepare me for that special one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's one listening. I don't know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. That might be. And that might be another reason why you and I connected, man. So we just never know. We just never know what God has up his sleeve.
You never know.
Never know, my man. That's great. That's fantastic. Listen, man, what advice would you like to give to the next generation coming up who might hear this show? What kind of advice?
What comes to mind to me is my favorite verse, one of my favorite verse, and that's in Philippians 1:6. We can be, I think it reads, we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and it says we can be confident, you know, and that's reassuring,
yeah,
that he, God, which hath begun,
yeah,
a good work.
Yeah, yeah,
see,
yeah.
It's a good work.
Yeah.
So it's not about what we do,
that's
and
right,
how we do it, about what I do. It's about what he does.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, his work is important.
That's right.
Because yeah, my work can be sloppy.
That's right. Yeah.
So I would want to encourage those and challenge those to accept God's authority and his salvation in your life, because you'll be the happiest person and you'll never regret it. And I'm sure to tell you this today, that if you choose God, you chose a good thing.
Absolutely, man. You know, the Lord begins the work in us. And
yes,
sometimes along the way before the finishing line, we take the work that God began away from him to try to do and finish it on our own, only to find ourselves getting in ditches and problems after problems after problems until we learn that it's not our battle. The battle belongs to God, man, and he can finish it just like he started.
Amen.
It. So,
amen.
I want to thank God. Alan, you've been a blessing to me, man. I call you Alan, but you know, Brian, Keith, Alan, my friend, my resurrected,
yes,
reconnected brother. And I believe that God has brought us together for such a time as this.
Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah,
I know. I know. When I heard you and saw that you contacted and reached out to me, I thought, this is God.
Yeah, yeah.
This is his work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're on
the victory is ours. As you mentioned, the battle, yeah, is the Lord.
That's right.
The victory is ours.
Amen. Amen. So, okay, Alan, Brian, I don't know why. I'm just grateful
because
again.
Because I got three first names.
Yeah, Brian, I know. Alan. Three first names, exactly right. But I want to thank God for you, man, and thank God for your consenting to be a part of our show today. We're going to have you on our reading circle coming up in just a few days. And again, I want to thank you, man. Let's stay close. Let's make plans. Let's be prayerful. Let's see what God has in store for us, so that we can finish the rest of our lives on a blaze of lightning and,
amen,
thunder to the glory of God, man.
Thank you, Mr. Hope.
Yeah.
I love you. God bless you. Thank you, Pete.
And God bless you, Alan. Take care, my friend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.